Hey there, and welcome to the Rock Reavers podcast. Here we're all about believing and proclaiming the word. We're totally given to true worship and obedient in taking the gospel to the nations through missions. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you'll be blessed by this message.
Praise God. Amen. People don't believe it. He will come here. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. There is a lot that can be said about discipleship, and we cannot exhaust it. I want to appreciate my pastors who have gone ahead of me. Did you appreciate the ministry of Pastor Kev the last two Sundays? Thank you so much, man of God. You have built upon what Pastor Stan was building, and I am coming to stand on the same this particular morning in Jesus' name. Mark chapter number 3. I'm reading from verse number 6. To verse number 20. And then I will give a few other scriptures as we proceed, and we will be blessed in the house of God. Do we have an amen in the house? Mark chapter 3, verse 6, in the King James Version. The Bible says, "And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him." Verse 7, "But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea." I've paused so that you can see he withdrew with his disciples to the sea. "And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan. And they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him." Verse 9, "And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues." Verse 11, "And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known, because it is not the business of devils to preach Christ. It is the business of believers to preach Christ." Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, verse 13, "And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him." Verse 14, "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and cast out devils." I will jump 16 to 19, because those are just the names of the disciples. And verse 20 says, "And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much eat bread." Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that Jesus, when he was about 30 years of age, he went to be baptized by John the Baptist. And if you have been in the Word of God, you will notice that John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus. And John the Baptist was the son of the cousin of the mother of Jesus. It was a distant relationship, but it was there. You see, those people who say that the director of KRA is the neighbor of the brother of the sister of my cousin's secretary. That kind of stuff. And the Bible tells us that when he was 30 years of age, that he went to the Jordan to be baptized of John the Baptist. Now we need to remember that John the Baptist practiced the baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. And it was a symbol that your sins have been washed away. When you are immersed in the waters of the Jordan, and when you came out, it was believed that you have left your sins away and you have gotten into a new life. And here comes the Nazarene, and the Bible says that he came to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist refused to baptize him because he said, "It is not possible for me to baptize you. I am the one who is in need of your baptism." Remember, before Jesus went there, John the Baptist told the people he had baptized in water. I want you to follow me closely. He told them that, "I baptize you with water, Pastor Kev. But among you there stands one that is greater than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He it is that shall baptize thee with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So when John the Baptist tells Jesus that, "I cannot baptize you, I am the one who needs your baptism instead," John the Baptist actually says that he's craving for the baptism of the Spirit of God. Because the baptism of Jesus was not the baptism of water, it was the baptism of the Holy Spirit and of fire. So Jesus goes to him, and we know that Jesus was born sinless. So if John the Baptist is doing his Baptist ministry at Jordan and sinners are coming to repent of their sins, what is it that the Son of God is doing in a queue of people who are murderers? What is the Son of God doing in a queue of people who are prostitutes and people who are thieves and people who are muggers and liars and people who have done all types of stuff? The reason why Jesus came and joined the queue of the sinners is because he wanted to identify with you. Praise the Lord. He did not come to be baptized because he was sinful. He came to be baptized to show you that I have to join you in the place you are in so that you can identify with the salvation that I am about to bring. Praise the Lord. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is the captain of our salvation. The Greek word translated captain there means the one that is with the soldiers at the battle tunnels or the battle trenches. He does not save from afar. He saves from where you are. I would get a better amen in this church. Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus knows where you are, and for him to save you, he came exactly where you are. And that is why he joined the queue of people being baptized of John the Baptist, for him to identify with the sinners. That was the first reason. The second reason he actually joined the queue of people being baptized is because he knew that in the kingdom of God there is order and authority. And John the Baptist had come to the picture after God had been silent for 400 years. He was the first prophetic voice between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew. There are 400 years, four centuries of what we call in theology intertestamental divine silence. And John the Baptist was the first one to break that silence, and people came to him because for 400 years people did not hear the voice of God. So Jesus came there to acknowledge that there is a minister that has gone ahead of him. Praise God. To show that in as much as he is the Son of God, he was submitted to the kingdom order. And that is why every minister that is upcoming must mention who they are submitted to. Sounds like a school of ministry. Praise the Lord. You can't just appear. Jesus would have started his baptism away from John the Baptist, and what it would have done, it would have brought confusion, Pastor Des, because John is baptizing at the Jordan and Jesus is baptizing on the other side. So who is who? Who is speaking for God? When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, that is the time that Herod demanded for John's head. Because John was done with his ministry, and Jesus had come to take over from there. That is why he bowed and John baptized him. And the Bible says when he came up out of the water, the Bible tells us, glory to God, that the heavens were open unto him. Listen to me, upcoming ministers that submit to those that have gone ahead of you, you are guaranteed of an open heaven. Praise the Lord. There is no independence in the house of God. Praise the name of the Lord. That is why, Jesh, you must follow your spiritual father. and spiritual authority. He may not have the English you have. He may not have the education you have. He may not dress like you like, people of God, but he has gone ahead of you in the matters of the Spirit of God. And any person that submits to spiritual authority, the heavens are going to open unto you. Hallelujah. And not just the heavens opening unto you, but the Spirit of God will come upon you and you will begin to hear the voice of God validating your sonship in the kingdom of God. The voice of God said, and that is the first time, Pastor Kev, we are seeing the Trinity together. God the Father speaking in the voice, God the Son submitting in the water, and God the Holy Spirit coming together. John the Baptist experienced the Trinity because he accepted to receive Jesus as the one who takes over from him. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that after Jesus had been baptized, the Bible tells us, if you look at the scriptures carefully, the Bible tells us that man of God, that the Spirit which filled him drove him to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The one who filled Jesus led Jesus. I am pausing so that it sinks in. You can't be filled and you're walking with your own choices. You can't be filled, and the last time you had the voice of God giving you direction, you can't remember. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time you consulted God on a decision you're about to make? Let me tell you, Doc. The one who filled him led him. And I pray that that will be your story. Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus was filled by the Spirit, yet he was the Son of God in the flesh. What about you? You are the Son of God, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You need that infilling too. And he fills you so that he can lead you into the purposes of God and into the will of God and into the place where God wants you to be. Praise God. So he led him to the wilderness so that he can be tempted by the devil. You know, I would have thought, man of God, Pastor Des, that if the Spirit has filled me, he will lead me to Rhema feasts so that I can preach with fire and brimstone. But sometimes the Spirit fills you and leads you to the place to demonstrate the power that you have received, because he did not lead Jesus to the wilderness so that Jesus can be defeated by the devil. He led Jesus to the wilderness so that Jesus can give the devil a taste of what is going to happen at the cross. Praise the Lord. To templatize for us, that for us to receive victory against the enemy, we must be full of the Spirit, Job Otieno, and we must also quote the word of God, because Jesus conquered the devil in the desert by being full of the Spirit and by quoting what is written, people of God. Hallelujah. Jesus did not pray in that desert. I can't get a better amen. Because prayer warriors believe that the volume of your prayer is what gives you victory. Hallelujah. He was full of the Spirit of God. And when you are full of the Spirit of God, you will discern which scriptures to use when the enemy comes to challenge who you are. Because the challenge in the desert, Pastor Kev, was, if you are the Son of God, remember that Jesus was led to the wilderness immediately after God had declared at Jordan that this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And it looks to me like the devil was eavesdropping that conversation. Because God announced that this one you are baptizing is my Son. Then in the desert, the devil says, if you are who God said you are, then prove it. Listen to me, we got nothing to prove to the devil. Glory to God. I am God's son because God has announced it to be so. I am God's son because I am born again. Glory to God. I don't have to prove anything to the devil. When the devil came and said, if you are the Son of God, then do this. Jesus said, it is written. Glory to God. It is fullness of the Spirit that makes Jesus have the revelation on what to quote. Without fullness of the Spirit of God, and without knowing what is written and where it is written, you are wasting your time in spiritual warfare. You will be defeated every 8 hours you pray because you are praying out of emotion and desperation. You should pray out of revelation. Glory to God. Can I get a better amen in the house? Because it is error. God will not answer you because you say, I am desperate for this. He will answer you because it is written, man of God. Praise the Lord. And so the Bible tells us that he left the wilderness full of the Spirit. And if you look at the book of Mark chapter 1, the scripture tells us that he went about preaching the kingdom of God. Glory to God. People who are full of the Spirit and people who know where it is written, they only preach one thing, the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. They don't preach their house. They don't preach their car. They don't preach their achievements. The Bible says that he came preaching the kingdom of God, and he said, repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. And the Bible tells us, people of God, that after he came from the wilderness, that he went to the Sea of Galilee. I'm coming to my message shortly. And the Bible says that he went to the Sea of Galilee and he saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew. They were fishers. They were running a fisheries company. I have talked about that here before. And he tells them, these guys were busy with their career. They were busy looking at the bottom line. They were busy trying to check how they will reduce the tax obligations. They were busy trying to see how they'll expand to the next lake. And Jesus came and said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. I want you to see, people of God, when Jesus came from the desert full of the Spirit and he began to recruit disciples for himself, he did not need to explain to them what is going to happen after they have followed him. The voice of God had conviction that he went to an office of a fisheries company and told people to leave their job, and they left without tendering a resignation or handing over to the next generation of fishers. He called them to himself. When Jesus calls you, you will know it is him. And you will leave everything behind so that you can follow that voice that will give you meaning and purpose for the rest of your life. Glory to God. So he tells Simon and Andrew, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. And they left their nets and they followed him. Then he went further down the shore and he saw James and John with their father Zebedee. It was a family business. It was started by Zebedee the father, and there John and James were working together with their father, and he told them, follow me. And they left their father in the business, and they left the instrument of business, and they followed the son of a carpenter who, rumor said, that actually the mother cheated on the father and gave birth at the age of 17 and said it is the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine your girlfriend saying that she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit? If it was Kenya today, it was a circus. It was drama. That is why at some point they called him a bastard. That you don't know your father. If you look at the Greek rendition of that word. And the Bible tells us that they followed him. And so Jesus is 30 years and he has begun recruiting disciples from the marketplace. Listen to me, people of God. He did not recruit disciples from the synagogue. I'm getting into Active 13 shortly. He did not recruit from within because you cannot fish from the boat. If you are fishing from the boat, you are entering another man's labor. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. For you to be a discipler, you must go out there where people are doing career and business and their vocation and whatever they are doing in the streets. That is where the harvest is. But you must be full of the Spirit and you must know what is written and you must have demonstrated that in your personal moments of isolation. And so he collects his disciples, Simon and Andrew and James and John, and they begin to go to the synagogue, and he begins to perform miracles on the Sabbath day. I'm now in Mark chapter 2. And the Bible tells us that his fame spread very fast. Remember, this was a community that had not experienced the miraculous for many years. And all of a sudden, there is a preacher that is able to open blind eyes and to make withered hands to be straight and make the lame to walk. And his fame spread abroad. And when his fame began to spread, the people began to come to him in multitudes. Now, let me pause here and say, there are people that Jesus called and said, come and follow me. But there are people who followed Jesus because they saw what he could do. So the disciples are those that Jesus called to himself without promising them anything. But the multitudes are those who come because there is something they are able to derive from the ministry. Praise the Lord. And Pastor Stania asked a question. Are you a disciple or are you in the crowd? Listen to what the Bible says. In the scripture we have read, Mark chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number, which verse is this? Praise the Lord. Verse number 9. And he spake to his disciples. These are those that he called and they followed him. He didn't give them a promise. He just told them, you are fishers of fish. Now I will make you fishers of men. Leave your vocation and follow after me. And they did follow him out of conviction. But the Bible tells us that in verse number 9, that he spoke to those disciples whom he had called, that a small sheep should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. Listen to me, people of God. Disciples enable the ministry. The multitude demands from the ministry. It is the disciples that were told, get for me a boat so that I can sit, because these guys that have come for miracles, they're about to crush me. They're about to throng me. They're about to push me to the brink. They're about to stretch me to the limit. Listen to me, people of God. It is time that the multitude becomes disciples. Because when you become a disciple, you enable the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you're part of the multitude or part of the crowd, what you have is demands every day. And I can tell you for free, people that are not submitted to discipleship and are not serving anywhere and are not being discipled by anyone, they are the ones that push the pastors to the brink. Jesus was saying, these guys will throng me, please give me a boat, otherwise I'll be crushed. The disciples enabled the ministry. The multitude was demanding miracles, signs, and wonders without commitment. And it is time we cross the line from being the multitude to being disciples so that we can enable the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, the Bible says, glory to God, for he had healed many insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. And the Bible continues to say, and the unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. I want you to listen, people of God. We need to move from the multitude to being disciples. We need to move from people who follow God because of what he can do to following him because of who he is. Praise God. We must come to the place where our walk with God is because of who he is in our lives, whether he has done those things that we want or not. These guys came because of miracles, signs, and wonders, and they put pressure on the ministry. But those that were already disciples, they enabled Jesus to function well and efficiencies. It is multitudes that bring inefficiency in the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. You are a disciple, not multitudes. man of God, Pastor Des, disciples are enablers of the kingdom work. But the multitude demands. They demand to see the pastor. They don't want their small group leader. They don't want their discipler. They demand for their house rent to be paid by this church or they leave the church. I've come to the ground now. I am a pastor. Oh. They demand that you come to their house. Those are not demands of disciples. They are demands of the crowd. Because once you move from being part of the crowd to being the disciples, you will be asking yourself, where can I place my hands? You will not be asking, what is it that I can get from here? You will be asking, what is it I can give here? Praise God. And I know that God is raising disciples in Rivers Church. Praise the name of the Lord. Joel, so good to see you with your dear wife and the addition of your activities. You know, you can't do anything about it. I'm the one who has the microphone. These are my friends. This baby did not drop from heaven. I think only my PMCC people understand me here because they know there are no filters. So good to see you with baby. This is baby who? Theophilus. I am the one who will dedicate him. Please just tell Pastor Stan and Pastor Kev to stay away. Nimebuk. So good to see you. The Lord bless you. Praise God. We must move from being in the multitude to being disciples. Hallelujah. Look at verse number 13. He says, Mark chapter 3, verse 13, and he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came to him. Then verse 14, do we have it up there? Verse 14, he says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. People, listen to me. Jesus called the 12, Job, and he ordained them. Number one, Louise, that they should be with. Do we have it? That they should be what? Please answer me. That they should be with him. And that he might is a possibility. It is not compulsory. Being with him is a must, but being sent of him is not a must. Praise God. He called them to himself. And you who is listening to me today, realize that God has first called you to himself before he calls you to the things that he wants you to do. Hallelujah. We have a problem in the church because we have so many people who have gone ahead of being with him. They have gone ahead to preach. They have gone ahead to do things for God. They are doing things for a person they have never been with. You are speaking on behalf of somebody you have never talked to. You have never experienced. You have never fellowshiped. Jesus is calling the 12 to be with him. He's calling you to the place of fellowship and worship and personal devotion and prayer and private believer's life. Listen to me. It is easily a temptation for what you do on a stage to be portrayed as your relationship with God, but it is easily a show. And there are many people who do a show on Sunday and in Christian meetings because they have learned Christianese and they have learned to look like they were with God yesterday. And they will not last long because you must be with him. That is discipleship. And then he must send you forth to preach. That is apostleship. Discipleship precedes apostleship. The one that goes must be the one that has been with him. Listen to me, people of God. We must pause at the doing and start focusing at the being. Let me repeat that again. We must pause at the doing and start focusing on the being. Before you do, please be with him. That is discipleship. What are you going to say about him? And you have not been with him. It's like those kids when you are growing up. Somebody's mother would say, "Eh, Des, please come." And then he begins to run to the shop. Because he's thinking his mother is calling him to go where? To the shop. Unajituma. Haujatumwa. What are you going to buy? You'll buy sugar and the mother wanted you to go and buy milk. You'll be outside the will of the one that is sending you. Listen to me, church. Jesus has called you to be with him. That is compulsory. And that he might send you forth to preach. That is not compulsory. It is a might. Praise the Lord. This is a good message for ministers, because we like doing and forget being. That they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and cast out devils. Power follows discipleship. Power follows being with him. This is not power to preach powerfully. Praise the Lord. I say it, praise the Lord. It is not power to release a powerful song. It is power to love your wife. It is power to submit to your husband. It is power to control your emotions. Now the amens are reducing. Because we only think the platform for power is the pulpit. The first platform for power is your personal life. Well, say my big amen. How powerful man of God, and he beats his wife. There is no power there. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yeah. You are singing like an angel, but you are the most arrogant person in your house. You can't be sent. You can't be told. You cannot be instructed. You are independent. You went to USIU. You have a master's degree. You have a German visa. You don't want to be told anything. Listen to me. That's a powerless life. Power is demonstrated in privacy, not in public. Praise the Lord. The person that is absolutely powerful is the one that is able to stay his emotions. And it is a product of being with him. Have you met powerful singers who cannot keep a relationship for 14 hours? They date, and in 14 hours they're dating another person. Because they discovered the first one is making them to lick their anointing, as if even that anointing is there. I know I'm speaking. Job, power is in privacy. Glory to God. Joseph had power. Can you imagine being hit on by the wife of his excellency? And he's saying, just a little bit, baby. And he ran away. Now, let me ask you a question. Who? let me slow down. He left without his shirt. So who was forcing who? Normally, the person that escapes without clothes is the one that was the victim. He would have said, nobody is seeing. And even the woman said, you know, nobody is seeing. And I will not say it. Power is not on the pulpit here, my brothers and sisters. It is in your personal space and your personal life. Can I get a better amen?
Yeah. When you become the wife according to the scriptures, that is power. When you become the businessman according to the scriptures, that is power. Where nobody is seeing, where only God is the audience, that is where true power is. What we see on the pulpit is an overflow of what has happened in your discipleship moments being with Him. Praise the Lord. And so I want to believe that apostles who have not been disciples are fake apostles. Because Jesus said, be with me first. Then I might send you. That word send there is the Greek word apostolos, which means one that has been dispatched with a particular mandate. And a person that has sent themselves is not an apostle, is a vagabond. You can speak all the English you want, but if you emerge as a great minister without the background of your discipler, we are not going to consume a single thing you are saying, because you're a rebel. Who raised you? Who taught you? Praise the Lord. That is why Rivers at One is a gathering of fathers, to show you people of God that even your pastors are submitted to fathers. They may not speak like we are. They may not have gone to school like we are. I'm not saying they have not gone to school, but I want you to know it is important for you to be discipled. It is important for you to submit to somebody. It is arrogant to say that you cannot be led by anybody. You must have people who tell you, don't talk to me if you are not talking to your wife. Yeah. And Pastor Des knows I'm tough on that matter. What are you coming to tell me? That you prayed for 6 hours? I'm not going to clap for that. But I will clap because you are living with your wife according to knowledge and wisdom. Isn't it? And you are raising up children in the ways that they should go. Praise the name of the Lord.
Glory to God. I know somebody is being blessed. Amen. We must be before we do. That's a good WhatsApp status. We must be before. Being, but doing. I cannot trust a person who does not have an authority and who does not have a discipler. Who is your discipler? You are just speaking a lot of Easter English. Explanations, paragraphs, a lot of things. You are out of order. If I ask you who is your disciple, you say, my disciple is Chesa. My disciple is Pastor Des. Listen to me, people of God. That is apostolic order. Praise the Lord. I want to show you one scripture, then I will pray. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Glory to God. Do you have Luke chapter 10? Even these wafungis, you must have disciples. Say a big amen with your instrument. Yeah. Michelle, you must have a disciple. Give us verse 34. Verse 38. Listen. This is a very powerful demonstration of what I am saying, and I will prove it. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Who was the host of Christ? Martha. Look at the next verse. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Listen to me. People that serve more than they are at the foot of Christ are serial complainers.
I have come where you are. They are always saying, why is it that I'm the one who is working hard the most here? I look like I'm the most committed here. I have never missed practice. I have never missed Friday prayers. This guy, they are jokers. Listen to me. That is noise from the kitchen. Because when Mary is seated at the foot of Christ, Martha is in the fireplace trying to cook for Christ. She did not know that the person whose feet her sister was sitting by was the bread of heaven, and she needed not to bake no bread, somebody. How can you cook for the food of heaven? You are cooking for the one who should be feeding you. That is being distracted by much service. I am not saying that we should not serve, but I am saying it begins at the feet before it ends up at the fireplace in the kitchen. Praise the Lord. And there are many people here who are in the matter position. They think, and you know, people who are in this position, they always want recognition. Look at what he says. He said, Lord, do you not care that my sister is just seated there and she's not helping me to cook for you? Jesus said, wait a minute, baby. You are my host, and the people I found in your house are benefiting more than you who has received me. Your sister has chosen the best part. Glory to God. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. People who are busy serving and they have forgotten to be with him, they are suffering of many things, and they are troubled and they are careful of many things. Look at that. Verse 42. Glory to God. But one thing is needful. What is needful? Today, mambo ni moja, si matatu. One thing is needful. And Mary had chosen the good part. People of God, being with him is a choice. It's a choice. It is not a feeling. I don't feel like praying today. I don't feel like going for discipleship today. It's a choice. She chose the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. There is a big risk when you are busy doing without being where he is. You will be troubled. You will be depressed. You will think you are the best volunteer in church. You will think that if people are compared to you, you are the one who should be awarded and should be congratulated because you are busy serving the Lord. That service must first begin by being with him. Then it can be an outflow in the kitchen where you are making ready for the King. Praise the Lord. I want to show you how powerful this is. People of God, listen to me. Give me John chapter 20, verse 15, from verse number 15. This Mary that made the foot of Christ her place of being was the first preacher of the resurrection. The first preacher of the resurrection was a woman whose abiding place was the feet of the Lord. Look at that. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou had borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Please listen to me, people of God. When Jesus was in the house of Martha, and Martha was complaining that her sister is not helping her, Jesus called her Martha, Martha, twice. But in the garden, when Jesus appeared to Mary, he called her once. Because my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. disciples know the voice of their master. Mary, and she turned and said, Rabboni, which is to say, my teacher. She knew that voice because she learned that voice when she made the feet of Christ her abode. We should stop saying, I was walking on the street, alafu kitu ikaniongelesha. Mimi siongeleshangu na vitu. Kama unaongeleshangu na vitu, we pia ni kitu. Sio mutu. Kitu ikaniambia, tu umse, there's something wrong with you. We unaongeleshangu na kitu, mina ongeleshangu na Mungu. Sio kitu. Well, she will say me amen. My sheep hear my, and they follow. Disciples know the voice of their master. Praise God forever. He said, Rabboni means my teacher. He didn't say, who are you? He didn't ask, where have you come from? Because he was familiar with that voice. And when he was told, he was trying to give us the next verse, verse 17. Glory to God. Look at what the Bible says. Jesus said unto her, touch me not. Listen to me. Jesus had risen from the dead. He was coming from hell. On his way up there, he had a woman weeping. And he had to stop going up and he came down. He stopped Jesus from his trip. And he said, don't touch me because I have not yet gone where I was supposed to go. I came because even in my death, you are looking for me. Praise the name of the Lord. And he says, look at what Jesus tells him. He said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Oh, glory to God. Before Jesus met the Father after his resurrection, he met the one that used to abide at his foot. Glory to God. There is something that happens when you abide in the secret place of the Most High. Look at what he says. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. This is the time that Mary was sent to go and preach the resurrection to the disciples who were somewhere not near where Jesus was buried. Hallelujah. Those that have been with him have been equipped and empowered to be sent to speak of him. Let me ask you, have you been sent or you have sent yourself? The evidence that you have been sent is that there is a structure of discipleship around your life. Discipleship must precede apostleship. Being with him must first come before going for him. Glory to God. I want us to rise on our feet. I want to pray for those people who have not been in the place of being. And you have been busy doing. And you know very far that God has been so far from me. I am in church. I am serving. But I know I have not been at the foot. I know that I have not been listening. Listen to me, people of God. Let's rise on our feet. I want to give you one more scripture and then I'm going to pray. In the name of Jesus. Paul is here. He has been given. Paul was a theologian. He was taught by Gamaliel, man of God. And the Bible tells us that Paul went to get authority from the chief priests and the Pharisees to come and persecute the people that had believed in the Lord, to come and persecute disciples. And Acts chapter 9 tells us, people of God, that when Paul was on his way to persecute, that a bright light shone around him. And the Bible says that he was knocked off the horse and he fell down. And when he was on the ground, people of God, a voice spoke to him and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul answered, who are you, Lord? Listen to me, people of God. Saul was called twice. Every time God is calling somebody twice, it means that person has not yet known the voice of God. That is why Saul is saying, who are you, Lord? He didn't know him. And the Bible says, Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Then Paul asked, what do you want me to do? Because this voice was strange to him. Pastor Cave, Paul was a Pharisee. He was a theologian of his days. He knew about the Bible, but he didn't know the person that wrote that Bible. That is why with all biblical knowledge, some people have no evidence of God in their life. And he said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul answers, who are you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Then Paul asks, what do you want me to do? And Jesus said, go into Damascus. You shall be told what to do. Jesus does not preach to sinners. It is disciples that preach to sinners. Praise God forever. Jesus does not appear to people to lead people to himself. He can appear to you and tell you, go to the house of Job. He will tell you what to do. Because the risen Lord does not preach salvation. He is salvation. And his servants, who are his disciples, must introduce you to that voice. So in Acts chapter 9, Jesus says, Saul, Saul. And Saul is asking, who are you? If you go further down, in Damascus, there was a disciple. Glory to God. Say a disciple. And his name was Ananias. Praise God forever. The man that wrote almost 75% of the New Testament was led to the Lord by a disciple in Damascus. He was not led by Peter the apostle. He was not led by John the apostle. He was led by those who abide at the secret place of the Most High. And God appears to Ananias. Where is the verse? Give us. Glory to God. God bless you. And there was a certain disciple. Ash, I love it. He was not an apostle. He was not an evangelist. He was a follower of another follower. Glory to God. Named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, one call. Like Mary, one call. But for Martha, it's Martha, Martha. But for Saul, it is Saul, Saul. People who don't know the voice of God need reputation. Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord, my sheep know my voice. He didn't ask, who are you? Saul was called and he said, who are you? But Ananias was called and said, I am here, Lord. Because he knows the voice of his disciple. Glory to God. Look at what he said in verse 11. Shalabadai. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, verse 12, and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Paul was led to the Lord by a disciple who was not even one of the 12. Glory to God. And this guy began to preach to God and said, what? Saul? I have heard of this guy. How he persecutes your people. How come you are telling me to go to him? You want me to be killed? Look at what God said. Is it verse 14? Give us verse 14. Verse 15. Woo. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me. Listen to me, people of God. You cannot determine what God will do with someone whose past you know. I can't get a better amen there. Because there are people who know the past of somebody else and they say, this one God cannot use. It's none of your business. Praise the Lord forever. A murderer on a mission became a chosen apostle by the laying on of hands of a disciple. And I pray that God will raise that caliber of disciples here. You don't need to be a pastor to lay hands. Am I speaking in the house? You don't need to stand here for you to have impact out there in the marketplace. You just need to be a disciple, and that power will come on you, and you will lay hands to raise men like Paul the apostle. Glory to God. And he laid hands on him and scales fell from the eyes of Saul. And the Bible says that he was baptized and he began to call on the name of the Lord, and Saul was saved by the laying on of hands of a small man in our thinking. And the Bible tells us, man of God, that what was the calling of, yes, these media people, I think they should go for a lunch. They are doing a good job on me. Now you are losing your lunch, eh? Go to the verse 15. They are following me well. Yes, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Listen to me. Do you remember Saul asking Jesus, what do you want me to do? You remember that? Then Jesus answered and said what? Go to Damascus, you shall be told what to do. Now here, Jesus is telling Ananias what the life of Paul is about. Praise God. It is a discipler that will tell you the will of God for your life. I'm telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. God is speaking to Ananias about the future of Saul, and Saul knows nothing about it. God will speak to you about your ministry through somebody else. Amen. I want us to pray. And this Paul, when he got saved, you know, God said he was going to preach to the Gentiles. But when he got saved, he started preaching in the synagogues. Gentiles were not in there. It was Jews. He was doing the right thing in the wrong place. And every time Paul preached to the Jews, he was beaten or his life was in danger. The reason why many ministers are in trouble is because they are doing what God did not tell them to do. He was called to preach to the Gentiles. He's preaching to the Jews. He was beaten. And you know, he got saved and started preaching immediately. There is a time they almost killed him. They put him in a basket. He descended on a wall. And he went to Tarsus. And the Bible said he was there for 14 years. You know, he got saved and he had so much fire. And he began preaching. But he had to be pushed to being with him before he goes for him. And for 14 years, he was out of the scene. If you look at Galatians chapter 2 verse 1, he tells us that he was in the desert of Arabia for 14 years, being with him. You may be saved, but you are not ready to go until you are discipled. And the people that disciple Paul are two people, Ananias and Barnabas. They were not big names, but they were older than him in the faith. And they produced an apostle of such caliber. Glory to God. This book called the Book of Acts, it is not the Acts of the Apostles. It is the Acts of the disciples by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. There are people who did great things there. They were not the 12 apostles. You taught us about Philip and Steve. They were not apostles. They were ushers. They were to go and buy beans and distribute to the Grecian widows and the Hebrew widows. But when they went to Raqqa market to buy the vegetables, they preached there until they died. You're going to do shopping and then we come and pick your body. Because you are so full of wisdom to preach the gospel there. I want to pray that you will go to the place of being. Why don't you lift up your hands and say, Lord, I have done so much. Now I want to become a disciple. I'm going back to that secret place. I have done so much. And sometimes I feel so empty. Yet I am so immersed in church. And I am immersed in ministry. And I am writing a song after another. And preparing a sermon after another. And preparing lessons after another. And preparing ministry after another. But deep inside, I know that I've been so far from you. Oh God, I pray today. Oh, receive me back to the place of being. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will return to the place of fellowship and the place of intimacy and the place of worship and the place of personal devotion in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise and we give you thanks. If you are there and you know this message speaks to me, I want you to come. I pray for you very quickly. I don't have to explain what the altar call is about. I have explained it in my message. You know you have been doing, but you have not been being. I want you to come very fast. Pastor Kevin will join me here. Just come here. We are going to pray for you. You know very well. You've been far. You've done church for a long time. People know you are a believer. People know that you are born again. But you lost your place of intimacy and fellowship and worship. It's being restored now. Come boldly in Jesus' name. Come on. Do we have a song? In the name of the Lord.
Jesus, we thank you. Come on, I'm waiting for you. Yes. You want to be taken back to the place of being. I want to be a disciple. I want to be a worshiper. I want to go back to my place of prayer. I have done church for a long time. I only speak Christianese, but I have lost intimacy. I lost the Spirit of God and the move of God in my life. That is the person I am praying for. Come quickly in Jesus' name. Nobody is judging you. Nobody is going to try to figure out if you are. I'm not talking about backsliders. I'm not saying that you lost your faith. I'm talking about you don't have a personal life of worship and fellowship and devotion. This is your afternoon in Jesus.
Thank you for sticking in to the end. We hope you are blessed by this message. Follow us for more of these messages when new episodes drop, and make sure to rate us so that more people can find out about us. Bye-bye.